Good morning, everyone. Our theme for today is crying out. What does crying out to God mean to you and for us as God's people? When I think of crying out as Job does, and as we see in many of the Psalms, I think of crying out in anguish, frustration, anger, crying out from the depths of despair. And there are two sources of that anguish: humans, ourselves and other people, and God. We are angry with ourselves or something that has been done to us by others. But there's also crying out because we are angry with God or very confused with something perceived to have come from God. We cry out and at God, and God can take it. Is anyone here familiar with the phenomenon known as the after-school meltdown? Those of you who have had or have school-age children or grandchildren may be familiar. You may also be familiar with a similar condition called the after-work blues. The hallmarks of both ailments are the ability to hold it together during the day, the ability to be successful and competent at work, or the ability to participate fully in the school day and get along with classmates and follow the teacher's instructions. Generally, a person is a well-mannered citizen at school or work. However, when that same child comes home, they have saved their best behavior for their parents, for their families. That's when the meltdown comes. The crying, the exhaustion, the frustration with the day, it all comes out. It all comes out at home. And you know what? It's okay. That is the role of a parent, of a family, of a home. Home is our refuge from the day. Home is where we can cry out in safety and security. That's why children save their best behavior for their parents and their families. We are their refuge. We are their place of safety. We are their home. Just as God is all of our refuge and our home, God can handle our after-school meltdowns, our cries of anguish and despair. That's why I chose this hymn. It has become a favorite of mine, so you're probably going to get to know to sing it really well, because I'm going to keep picking it. The idea is that we can take refuge in God. This idea that God is my home is a powerful one. Oh God, our refuge is your love. No fear can take us captive when we follow your courageous lamb. Then we can leap the walls. Amen, amen. If you read the information in the hymnal about the lyrics of this hymn, you see that they are taken from the testimonies of the Anabaptist martyrs in the 16th century. They're taken specifically from songs and testimonies written by women martyrs named Anna Yosh and Martha Baird. They wrote them from prison. Can you picture the women in prison crying out to anyone who would listen? There is a story of Anna, when she is arrested, pleading in the town center for someone to adopt her infant son and raise him to be a good Christian so that they will be reunited in heaven. Can you imagine? So much crying, crying out to God, crying out to the religious authorities, to fellow Anabaptists, to and for their children. And yet, amidst all that crying out, God is their refuge. God is their home. Crying out to God will help them leap the prison walls. God is stronger and bigger than anything our human minds can fathom. When we are afraid or see despair, God does not. I wonder too about the parallels between the Anabaptist martyrs and the book of Job. Surely both Job and the martyrs had great reason to cry out in anguish and despair, but they both also cry out in faith and hope. Job says in chapter 7, but I won't keep quiet. I will speak in the adversity of my spirit, groan in the bitterness of my life. Job cannot keep quiet in the face of his trials and adversity. Job must cry out. He cannot refrain from moaning about the bitterness of his situation. But neither can he refrain from extolling the strength, majesty, and mystery of God. In chapter 9, Job says things like, God is wise and powerful. He moves mountains and commands the sun. Job has a lot to say and a lot of crying out to do. That is why the book is so long. But even in his crying out, in his fear and anguish, he falls back on the mystery of God. And indeed, from the whirlwind, God answers Job's cries. God says twice to Job, prepare yourself like a man. These two commands bookend God's detailed description of God's power. God is highlighting the differences between Job, a man, a human, and God, who is not a man. He's God. Job understands that God's wonders are beyond his comprehension. He is a man and cannot fully understand the mystery that is God. The mystery is the point. And where there is mystery, there is beauty. But there is also darkness, confusion, and frustration at a lack of understanding. What is this mystery of God? Why is suffering happening? Why do bad things happen to good people? But we are not God. We are human, like Job, which means we can also cry out, as did Job. We don't need to keep quiet in our adversity. We can be like Job. We can cry out like the Anabaptist martyrs. No matter how many meltdowns, angry temper tantrums, anguished cries we throw at God, God is our refuge and God is our home. In the book of Job, chapter 4, Job's friend Eliphaz thinks he's figured it all out. I know. He says, as I've observed, those who plow sin and sow trouble will harvest it. Similarly, in chapter 8, Job's friend Bildad thinks he has the explanation and answers to Job's cries. He says, if you are pure and do the right thing, then surely he will become active on your behalf and reward your innocent dwelling. These two friends are offering a simple accounting. Sin results in trouble, and doing the right thing results in reward. But Job knows it's not so simple. Job is sitting in the dark parts of the mystery. There is no easy accounting for Job. Job, like the psalmist in Psalm 130, cries out to you from the depths, Lord. The psalmist also pleads with God, my God, listen, listen to my voice. The writer cries out at God, begs him to listen to his prayers. But the psalmist also goes on to say, if you kept track of sins, Lord, my Lord, who would stand a chance? But forgiveness is with you. So the psalmist cries out at God, but also rests in the hope of God's forgiveness. Like Job remains faithful throughout his ordeal, we too can love and rage at God. We too can remain faithful and also be confused and frustrated with God. I am reminded of the cry of the father of the demon-possessed boy in the Gospel of Mark. When Jesus says to him, all things are possible for the one who has faith, the father cries out to Jesus, I have faith. Help my lack of faith. Or in other translations, it is, I believe, help my unbelief. Isn't that what Job takes like 30 chapters to say? Isn't that what many of our cries to God are about? I believe, but I'm also confused or frustrated. I believe, but I don't understand. I have faith, but I don't know what that means. I believe God is good and God is love, but also bad things are happening in the world and I don't know what to do about it. I don't know what God is doing about it. Ultimately, if we are angry and crying out at God, we must believe in God. It's not a lack of faith. We wouldn't get mad at a God that we don't believe in. Being mad at God is not a reflection of a lack of faith. It isn't for Job or the psalmist, and it isn't for us. The reason young children often save their meltdowns for the people who love them most is because they know they can fully trust that their unpleasant behavior can never change their family's love for them. God is not shaken by our anger. Our crying out can never change God's love for God's people. God is not keeping an account the way Job's friends suggest, but rather it is like the psalmist says, faithful love is with the Lord because great redemption is with our God. We can take all our burdens, all our rejoicing, all our anger, our despair, our worship, and our thanksgivings to God. We can cry out in anguish and joy. We can trust that God's love bears all things. Amen.